last week's parasha and parasha Shoftim, we contrast, I think, from what we saw in parashas Re'eh. Parashas Re'eh, we spoke about the theme of the parasha was nisyonis, tests, when it comes to how we're going to behave, etiquette, giving of charity, other types of nisyonis that come along for on a personal level. I think in parasha Shoftim, the Torah discusses the same idea of nisyonis, but in a different type of way, in the authoritative position. The Torah discusses the nisyonis that come along with those people that are not regular members of society, but they hold some form of an authoritative position. The nisyonis are more complicated, and there are more risk involved in some of those nisyonis. The beginning of the parasha, the Torah talks about setting up judges. A judge, or someone who enforces the law, you know, a policeman, they are all authoritative positions. And it's very easy to be in an authoritative position to easily get bribed, to get swayed. Look at the political situation today. It's very common for many, many political people to get caught up in this. And the Torah is saying that it's a big nisayon for a person to have a position of authority and still be able to hold his ideologies and his hashkafa in check is the nisayon at the beginning of the parasha. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful understanding of the beginning of the pasuk, Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'cha. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, Shoftim means you have to judge yourself. For yourself, is this action, is this activity right or wrong? Then you have to be a shoiter. You have to be your own policeman. Titan l'cha, for you yourself. Don't go around telling everyone else what they should be doing. It's very easy to police the world. Police yourself, says Rav Moshe. You decide, should I be going here? Should I hang out with these people? Is it right for me? If yes, fine. If no, then I'm a shoiter. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to be my own policeman. L'cha, for yourself. Everyone has to make their own decision of what's right and wrong in their own life and follow suit with that decision that they make. We know Rashi tells us that when you're going to come to the Shofet, you're going to come to the Shofet Asheyiyeh Bayom Mahem. That's going to be in those days. So Rashi asks, obviously you can't go to a Shofet who lived 200 years ago. So Rashi says, we learn from here that you have to accept the Shofet of your generation. So Rabbi Fran has a discussion about this where he says that this is a big nisayon for many people today. Those people who experience previous Gedolim from previous generations, it's very hard for them to go to what we call today's Gedolim and they say, come on. Today's Gedolim are minor leaguers from what I saw. I saw Gedolim, I saw major leaguers, I saw the real players. You're going to tell me now I have to go to these Gedolim for my problems, for my issues. How can I do it? So he says, this is not the first time in history this happened. He said it happened to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He said Reb Chaim Soloveitchik started saying shir in yeshiva. No one wanted to hear shir from him. He said, who's this new guy, Chaim Soloveitchik? Who is he? We never heard of him. Obviously, everyone knows Reb Chaim's style was very different at that time. And no one really wanted to listen to him. Fakat, they all thought that Reb Chaim only got his job because of family connections, because he married the Nitziv's granddaughter. No one wanted to be gary with anything Reb Chaim had to say. And obviously, over time, the longer Reb Chaim was there, people understood that Reb Chaim is who he was. So Rabbi Fran points out, he says, don't think that this is, you know, today, only today's Gedolim we have this problem. No one wanted to accept Reb Chaim Soloveitchik as a Rosh Yeshiva, and he's today the Avi Avoisa Rosh Yeshivas. So he says, in the Soyin today, that's so difficult for us, for people older than me who have seen real Gedolim or previous generation Gedolim, it's very difficult to be able to accept the Gedolim of today. Now, I just want to make one addition to this comment. I don't believe that Chazal mean that you have to accept people today that call themselves Gedolim. It's not because you get a title Gadol, then now all of a sudden, okay, you're the Gedolim of today's generation. We're talking about people that are capable of being a Gadol. They have the criteria for being a Gadol. They're knowledgeable, but they lack, obviously, being Rav Moshe Feinstein or being a previous Gadol. But just because someone becomes a position because he gets ushered in by the board and he's voted in, you know, 5-4 by the board and he's now the new Gadol, that doesn't mean all of a sudden now all Klai Yisrael has to listen to him. We're talking about people that are Rotwi. They deserve to be titled whatever title they get. But you just can't accept it because, come on, I remember his grandfather who was way bigger than him, or I remember his Rebbe was way bigger than him. So on that, we have to kind of swallow our tongue, bite our tongue, and accept it. But if you have a guy who just became a Rav because, you know, he's a good speaker, and he has got a nice title, so everyone, okay, that's it. We have to accept it because he's the Gadol of the generation. I don't think that's what Chazal means. We're not mechuyev to accept people that are not knowledgeable just because this is the best our generation can produce. We're mechuyev to accept those that are taka Rotwi lakach, and they're capable, and they're certified, and they know what they're doing, but okay, they lack experience, or they lack previous generation, they weren't in Europe, okay, fine, most of the Rabbanim today were probably not in Europe anymore, but we have to accept that, but to accept someone just because, you know, however he got his position, I don't think that's what it means. But I think this is a hard thing, and Rabbi Fran points this out, this is a hard thing for many people who were zoiche to see previous generation Gedolim, to be able to all of a sudden now say, okay, this is my new Das Torah, this is my new Pesach, even though I saw great, unbelievable people, it is a difficult thing, but the Torah is telling us we can survive. The Torah tells us there's a prohibition about putting up a matzeva. Now, Rashi, and many Rishonim are bothered with, what do you mean Yaakov put up a matzeva? How can a matzeva be such a bad thing? What's a matzeva? One stone. How can it be such a bad thing if Yaakov Avinu did it? So Rashi says, yeah, it was okay for Yaakov, but it's not okay for us. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a whole discussion explaining what's wrong with a matzeva. That the idea of a matzeva is there's one stone, there's no growth. This is what it is. I plateaued. This is it. One stone. There's no growth growing further and further. But I think there's a deeper message over here. When many people say it was good enough for Yaakov. So Rabbi Moshe says, yeah. It's because Yaakov had no other mitzvahs in the Torah. Everything, there was no obligation. So for Yaakov, this sufficed. But says Rabbi Moshe, post Kabbalah Satorah, where Klal Yisrael got more mitzvahs, and we have a Torah, now we expect higher. And this is a comment you hear from many people, they're saying, well, it was good enough for my generation, it should be good enough for my kids' generation. But that's not true. Your generation had various nisyonos, and you didn't necessarily have the same chances that your children have. So you're right. So if you were able to be Shomer Shabbos, we were happy with that. Today, where we live in a world where there's so many more chances for kids, there's yeshivas, and there's much more learning, we don't say, oh, that's enough, because it was good enough for my generation. So, okay, Moshe, yeah, it was good enough for Yaakov Avinu, but it's not good enough for us. Which is a very, very powerful lesson when we're dealing with generation gaps. You say, well, in my generation, this was good enough. You're right, and it was. And for Yaakov Avinu, this was a big schos. But for the next generation, post-Kabbalah Satorah, where we had new mitzvahs, a whole new world opened up to us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that this is not sufficient for us. We have to strive and want much more. There's in the pasuk in last week's parasha, the Torah gives us a prohibition called Laisasar, which teaches us that you have a mitzvah to listen to what Chazal is saying. If you don't listen to the Rabbanan, one is over the love of Laisasar. So it's Kedai to mention a very long Shakasha that Ramban has over here. He says, if every time you're over a Rabbanan, it's Laisasar, how can you ever say Safik de Rabbanan Lakula? How is there a rule called Safik de Rabbanan Lakula? What do you mean Safik de Rabbanan Lakula? If I'm going to go Lakula and I'm not going to do the Rabbanan, I'm going to be over the Deraisa of Laisasar. How is there a principle called Safik de Rabbanan Lakula? So the Tashbitz answers, he says, that's where they built it in. They built it in. When the Rabbanan made up their rules, they built in to go Safik de Rabbanan Lakula. Reb Shimon in Shai Yosher discusses this a lot. Reb Shimon discusses this idea, and he basically says a very lomdish idea. Reb Shimon suggests that the Isser of Midaraisa and the Isser de Rabbanan are fundamentally completely different. Why am I not allowed to transgress an Isser D'oraisa? For example, says Reb Shimon, why can't a person eat treif? Says Reb Shimon, because it's a cheftza, it's an object of Isser, which means there's something intrinsically wrong with it. As Reb Shimon calls it, he calls it poison. You have to view it as poison. So if someone came to you with a piece of meat and said, I have a piece of meat, I'm not sure if it's tainted with poison, would you eat it? Of course not, says Reb Shimon. That's Safik D'oraisa L'chomer. You have a piece of meat that might be tainted with poison, and you're not sure. It may be poison, maybe not poison. So Safik D'oraisa, it tells me I can't eat the poison. What's the Yisoid of an Issa D'Rabbanan, says Reb Shimon? The Rabbanan didn't answer the piece of meat like poison. An Issa D'Rabbanan means I have to listen to whatever the rabbi say. And if the rabbi say I can't eat the piece of meat, I can't eat the piece of meat. Not because the piece of meat is viewed as poison, says Reb Shimon, because Chazal don't have that power. But I have to listen to whatever Chazal say. If Chazal say jump, I have to jump. If Chazal say eat, I have to eat. So says Reb Shimon, when Chazal were mesupik, they didn't say anything. How are you going against their words? They didn't say what to do here. They didn't say you can't eat this piece of meat, because they're not sure if you can't eat the piece of meat. So therefore says Reb Shimon, the whole Issa D'Rabbanan is not listening to them. When they weren't sure what's usher, I'm not breaching that idea of not listening to them. So therefore says Reb Shimon, that's why a Safik D'Rabbanan you go l'kula, why a Safik D'Raisa you go l'chum. It's a very famous piece of Reb Shimon in Shayesh. He uses it to explain a lot of different things. But I thought it's kedai to mention at least ala parsha, this famous insight from Reb Shimon. The Torah tells us at the end of the parsha that when a person goes to war, what's he afraid of? He's afraid that someone else will take his stuff. Someone else will take his vineyard, someone else will take his wife. So I saw a pshat once, his bigger concern is not that he won't be there. It's one thing he won't be there, but someone else is going to get it. That gets him much more. No, I won't be there, I can live with it, right? Okay, we all know people die. But I'm going to spend all this time working on this, and someone else is going to chop it, right? I'm going to spend all that time working to feel someone else is going to take it. Someone else is going to take my wife? That I can't handle. That's the daiga that the person has when he goes to war, is that all the effort that he put in will be replaced by someone else. Him not having it, he can live with it. But the fact that someone else is going to take it, that bothers him very much. If Soloveitchik points out, it's quoted by Rav Shech and Nefesh Rav, something which is very relevant to Bizman Hazeh. He points out, we know that there's a drasha that women are not allowed to testify in a court of law. So if Soloveitchik says, many people think that this is the Torah's statement of being anti-women. The Torah is saying women are second-class citizens, they can't justify in a court of law, they're lower-ranking members of society. It says their salvation is exactly the hepach. Totally not the pshat. It says the reason why the Torah says women can't testify is not because they don't count as much as men. It says the reason why women can't testify is because, he says, kol kavud bas melech panima, they're very busy people. You know, they schlep them to court, make them sit through court, ask any lawyer. It's a schlep, all right. Bring them down. How much do we all run away from jury duty, right? There's a reason for it, because they're huge schlep. So you're going to take a nice, good Jewish girl and schlep her to court and make her sit there and deal with all these things. So the Torah exempted her from testimonial, not because she's not important. Exactly the hepuch. Because she's so important, she's so valued, she can't be busy with this type of work. Right? So salvation, that's why the Torah exempted her. Not because the Torah views her as a second-class citizen, the way society wants us to believe. It's totally not the case. There's a similar tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he discusses women wearing tefillin and other things. He says it's the same idea. It's different roles in life doesn't mean you're a lower member of society. Doesn't mean you're second-class. Doesn't mean the Torah says women are not as important as men. We have different roles and different purposes in this world, but it's not a testimonial to the chashivas of one versus the other. Over the weeks here, giving the shir here, I've had many stories from different people have come over and told me that, you know, I just came off a plane to come to the shir today, or other people have told me that they rearranged their Shabbos schedules so they can be here for the shir, which is really an edus, a testimonial to the shir, that you're so devoted to the shir and it means so much to you. But today I think we have a special case as well. Today we have a chassan with us, Moshe Lehman, who's getting married later this afternoon. And he's here in the shir this morning with us. He's getting married in a few hours, not even tonight, in a few hours. And that's really a testimonial to devotion and Torah, to the shir, when you want to be here, even though I'm sure your parents have a lot of things for you to do, or they think you have a lot of things you need to do. But to come here, to be here in the shir this morning, I can't think of a better way to start off Yom HaChuppah than coming to learn for an hour and change before one's chasana.
If this is the last day, he gets to do what he wants.
That's true also. You know, for our chasana, we'll just mention a nice word about chasana. There's in last week's parasha, the Torah talked about melech. The idea of a melech. So we know it's mevor in halalacha that a chassan is daim melech. So I think Rabbi Baruch Simon refers to this in the Sefer where he discusses what's the significance of a chassan to a melech. So the idea of a good melech, at least, is someone who is concerned about his people. He worries, he thinks about how his people are surviving, how his people are doing. He takes care of his people. That's the idea of when a person is single, he's really somewhat self-absorbed. He's really pretty much focusing about himself, his own growth, what's important to him. He's not really thinking about anyone else. When a person gets married, now it's his job to think about other people. Think about his wife, it should think about his children. That's the idea of when a chassan is daim lamelech, it's not just for fun. It's an obligation. It's now your whole attitude, your whole mindset changes. Now you have to think about someone else besides for yourself. It's not only me in this world, there's other people in this world. You know, I got a phone call on Friday afternoon. I try to keep my phone on till the end of till right before Shabbat starts. You know, every once in a while, people have these last-minute shows, so I try to keep my phone on. Also, it gives my kids something to play with until Shabbos comes. So I get a phone call from a talmud of mine, who's a single fellow. He calls me mamash 15 minutes before Shabbos. So I'm thinking to myself, it must be an important shaila, must be traveling. He wants to talk about something that easily could have waited till after Shabbos. So I told my wife, I said, that's the difference. When a person is single, he doesn't understand what Shabbos looks like in a house 15 minutes before Shabbos. It's flying, kids are getting dressed, food. No one has time just to sit and schmooze. When you're a single person, you're somewhat focused about yourself, which is okay. At that time in life, you're allowed to. When a person gets married and Mr. Shem grows a family, you start to realize it's a whole different story. And that's pshat and why a chassan is daim lamelech. That a chassan has to start worrying now about things, worrying about himself, worrying about his spouse, worrying about his house, making sure everything is where it needs to be. And that's why the Torah considers a chassan daim lamelech. Our bracha to the chassan is, there's a shtickle sudas prayed to him because he's going to be moving to Washington Heights. It's a little hard to commute for the share every Sunday. But nonetheless, we will definitely miss you. We appreciate all your attendance. And Mr. Shem, this should be an unbelievable schus for the start of your marriage, Mr. Shem, later this afternoon. Amen. Okay.
Which one's the chassan?
Okay. So let's get back into the sugya over here. We're holding over here in the Gemara. We learned the Gemara over here just very quickly. I want to meet to the Gemara because I really want to get moving to the next sugya. The Mishnah starts off, the Gemara starts off over here. If a person writes again, he puts it in the hand of her Eved. Again, the husband's trying to create Gerushin. Instead of giving it to the woman directly, he's giving it to her Eved, and her Eved is kind of through the rule of Chatzar. So, Gemara, well, depends. Yoshin Misham Rasai. If the Eved is asleep, I raise a get, then it is a good get near. If the Eved is awake in a get, then it's not a good get. Why? Because there's some problem called Chatzar Mishnemer Shalot Daita. If the Chatzar is controlled, guarded, protected by someone else besides for the owner of the chatzar, because since the Eved is awake, he's controlling his movement, that's a problem. Talk to Gemara, but Yashan Misham Rasa, if the Eved were to be asleep, then he's not in control of anything, then Hareza get, then the get would be good. Now the Gemara comes up with a new problem. Besides the fact that you have to have him be asleep, you have a problem called a moving chatzar. Now, I'm pointing out that none of these dinim have any backing to them. It's not like the Gemara says that a chatzar mishtameris is learned from pasuk A and a chatzar malech is learned from pasuk B. These were all seemingly made up halachas by Rava. Obviously, Rava's allowed to do that. That was his job. Yeah, but the Gemara doesn't give you any reasons for anything, nor does the Gemara give you any sources for everything, which obviously is going to make things complicated when we're going to try to figure out how everything plays out. But Zakti Gemara, something called the Chatzim Alechas. The Chatzim Alechas like Kana. Frag the Gemara b'chitema Yosh and Shani. Maybe Tommy sleeping is not moving. You told me a moving chatzar. Sleeping people don't move. So I think Mara no v'ha'ma Rava. Rava says, kol she'ilu mahalach le'kona, me v'yosha le'kona. Anyone who could move is no good. So therefore, back to square one, how does it work? The Hilchos ha'enfet, the Gemara b'kovet, is talking about where he's tied up. So we spoke last week a lot about a big machloikis rishayim. What do you need at the end of the day? Do you need to be tied up and sleeping, or is it just tied up without sleeping? Most rishayim, including Rashi, Tosfos, and the Bahag, hold you need to be sleeping and tied up. Okay, when we say tied up, we mean your feet are tied up, because sleeping fixes mishtameres, feet tied up fixes mahalechis. The Rambam was of the minority opinion, where the Rambam held no. As long as you're tied up by the feet, you're good to go, nothing else is a problem. That was the Shitas HaRam. That Rambam we spoke about last week, how we learned the sugya. What I want to get into today is a totally different Rambam. If you look over here, number two, halacha, in the Rambam, Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Hei, the Rambam. Nasan aget bi'ar avda. If you put the get into the hands of her eved, v'hu nir, and the eved's awake, v'hi misham rasay, im haya kafus, if the eved were to be tied, again, we're talking about an awake eved, zog the Rambam, if he's tied, hareze get, that's good. Why? Because the Rambam said, it has got to be tied. Uki'ilu higia l'chatzeira, it would be as if you put it in her own chatzir, she emedes betzida, that she's standing next to. Vim eine kafus, if the eved were not to be tied, eine get, then it's not a good get. So far, no major chidushim, besides the fact that the Rambam holds.
Well, made it two words.
Well, yeah, those words I didn't translate for a reason. Yeah, okay. Yeah, those words need tight, what they mean. Yeah, okay, I agree. So, Dr. Rambam, what happens if them ain't a kafus, then ain't a get? Here's the kicker. Nos na biyada evid v'hu yashon. Let's say you put it in her evid's hand, and the evid's asleep. V'hi misham ratoy. Hareza posel. It's posel. V'hem haya kafus, but if it were to be tied, hareza mugureshes. Now, why is this a troubling line? The Rambam has a rule that he himself lays out in Yada Chazaka, that the Rambam uses different lingo for describing different types of get. There's two ways the Rambam describes a get. He'll either call it Eino get, which means it's not a get whatsoever, not on a deraisa level, not on a derabbanan level. Then sometimes the Rambam will call something a get puzzle. What does a get puzzle mean? It means midiraisa, it is a get. Midirabbanan, it's not a get. Means midiraisa, this is a viable get. The Rabbanon passed it. The Rabbanon said you can't use such a get, and the Rabbanon say that it's no good. So the obvious kasha on the Rambam is, how can the Rambam say that if the Eved is sleeping and not tied up, that's only a get, it's pasul midirabbanon, it's pasul midiraisa. The Gemara said that Yashon is no good because it's a chatzar malachas. So how could the Rambam say that if he's sleeping, it's only a psul derabbanan? It's not a psul derabbanan. It's be'etzem. It's a chatzim alechas. Rav himself said, if you're going to buy into Rav, you got to buy into all of what Rav said.
And
okay, good. That's what I want to get to. Again, the Gemara never told us what's the status of chatzim alechas. The Gemara told us chatzim alechas loikana. On what level? Is that the Raisa? Is that the Rabbanan? That the Gemara didn't say. So let's, the assumption of the Magen Mishnah and the Ran. The Ran asks on the Rambam. He asks the Mamash Betmiya. Says he can't understand the Rambam. How can it be a get deraisa if it's a chatzim alechas? So clearly the Ran understood that chatzim alechas is a din deraisa. Now, if it's a din deraisa, where's it learned from? In order to be deraisa, there's got to be a pasuk somewhere. Where's there a pasuk anywhere in the Torah where the Torah says you can't have a moving chatzim? So let's see how the Magen Mishnah deals.
It's a svara, though. It's just defining what a chatzir is. So once we define what a chatzir is, anything that's different than that is not a chatzir.
But again, where do we start? Where's the starting point of defining a chatzir?
Where do we learn panyanim from?
Where do we learn chatzir from? So the Gemara says, where do we learn chatzir from? Yodai. Eli el yodai, gaga chatzir v'kefiv menayin, tamalei mei matzis imatzis. So the Gemara says in many places that chatzir has to be doim el yodai. So, again, there is no Mefurash Gemara that says that Chatzim Alechas is no good because it's not Daim Eliyad. There are Rishonim like that. There is no such Gemara. Many Rishonim learn that the reason why Chatzim Alechas doesn't work because it's not comparable to your hand. Your hand doesn't move. Now you ask me, of course your hand moves. Hello, my hand moves right here. So Taisvah says, no, your hand's not really moving. Your body moves and your hand is moving along with it. That's the way Taisvah learns. Kveger has a different Shtickle Torah. Kveger says, your hand moves but it never detaches from you. So too, you can never detach from your chatzar. If you have a moving chatzar, you and your chatzar are going different places. That can't work. So it's not comparable to yad. There's one other mahalach in Rishonim, the Meiri and maybe Rashi, that the reason why chatzar mahalach doesn't work because it's not mishtameres. You can't guard a chatzar that's moving. How can you be on top of a chatzar that's moving? It's just an impossibility. And chatzar mishtameres makes it no good. Which
but
makes
you can't start the market,
so. Which is very complicated, which we'll have to deal with. Yeah. Pashtus, it's a general definition of a chatzar, wherever chatzar needs to be.
So you don't have to
Oh, again, we're going to talk more about that. Today we're going to just try to get to that. Every time we talk about chatzar, we have to ask, what is the chatzar doing? Is it kinyan get? Is it kinyan mamonis? Well, we'll have to talk about that.
You don't have a fence around, or you don't have security.
You're right. That would also be a problem with chatzar mishta meres. Either you're standing next to it. If I have an open chatzar that no one's near, that's also chatzar she'en mishta meres. And we'll talk today about what type of psul is that. We'll have to discuss what type of psul that is. But let's just see the Magen Mishnah's pshat in the Rambam. Very interesting way of reading the Gemara. The Magen Mishnah starts off with the kash in the Rambam. We'll start off over here in the middle where he says, Kloimar shu get goma min ha-toyre el shepasam ha-devreim. When the Rambam says it's Harei's apostle, that's the Rambam's way of saying it's a get midaraisa, but apostle of the Rabbanon. Kemoshi is barbe perikyud, achil ksheish midvar, but arme ain't a get, lami apostle. Like the Rambam himself lays that clearly in perikyud, that when he says ain't a get, it means not even on a deraisa level. When he says get apostle, it means midaraisa, it's kosher midarabonon, it's apostle. Umitoichach nearly, so says the Magen Mishnah, so how did he understand the Gemara? Befarish dach, the chiakshina, vaha'ome rava koshi machloi kona, when Rav himself said that sleeping is still moving because you could move, Zok the Magen Mishnah, Lav Ledin Gomer Akshina. That Gemara's Kasha wasn't on a Deraisa level. The Gemara wasn't saying that Midaraisa sleeping is moving. Because when you're sleeping, you really can't move. Even though when you'll wake up, you will then be a mover. Now you're not a Chatzim Alechas. So when the Gemara answered Yashon, even Rava really thought, you're right. Yashon is not a moving chatzar. I'll accept that. So what was Rava's comment back that it doesn't work? Says the Magen Mishnah, Elohach Yakshinan, Amai Hareze Get Gomur. The Gemara's kasha is back to him is, why is it a full get the Eraisa when he's sleeping? Yeshlon Ligzo Yashon Atunir. We should make up a new Gzeid Rabbanon. That we should say the same way a sleeping person, although halachically is not called a Malachas, but people are going to confuse sleeping and awake. You know, people are not such lamdanim. They don't understand the difference between a sleeping and a. They look at a sleeping as someone who could move, and someone who's awake as someone who could move, and they'll make a mistake. Therefore, mitzuyin tamid. Therefore, zok the Magen Mishnah. That's the way you read the Gemara. It's a whole different Gemara. You read the Gemara like this: that we're talking about when he's sleeping, and when he's sleeping mid the right, so he's not moving, and therefore he's not a chatzim halachas. Frag the Gemara. What are you talking about? V'homer Rava. Rava said that you have to make a gzeira derabbanon on a sleeping person and reject the get on a derabbanon level gzeira otu a case of someone who's awake. But midaraisa, 100%. Midaraisa, a chatzim halachas is defined by active movement, not by passive movement. That's how the Magen Mishnah learned the Rambam. So what does the Gemara answer when it gets to kafus? When we learned the Gemara many times ago, we were always bothered. Why is tied up that much different than sleeping? So the Magen Mishnah learns kafus is an example of a milsa de l'shchicha. There was no reason for Chazal to make the gzeira on a tied up person because a tied up person is just a strange case. And the Rabbanon were never afraid of strange cases. They never make gzeiras for abnormal, not common cases. So according to the Magen Mishnah's way of reading the Gemara in the Rambam's eyes,
as opposed to giving it to a sleeping
evidence. Yeah, I guess that was more common. I guess Rabbanon used to sleep more than they were tied up. I don't know, right? So Zok the Magen Mishnah is a whole different Gemara. According to this, and this is the Nekuda in Lomnis, it comes out in the Rambam's world, that the definition of Mahalechas is active movement. That's what Mahalechas means. If you're actively moving, then you're a Chatz Mahalechas. Sleeping is not a Chatz Mahalechas. So why did the Gemara reject sleeping? Because the Gemara felt that we should kick in the Gzeira D'Rabbanan. We should make Gzeira D'Rabbanan onto a case of someone who is awake. And that the Gemara says, you're right. If you want to make this a get D'Raisa, according to all Shitas, you have to make him tied up. Why does tied up change? Not because tied up is less deemed moving. Tied up makes it that there's no reason for Chazal to make a Gzeira. Therefore, Zog the Gemara of Hilchos HaBekafos. That's how the Magen Mishnah understood the Gemara. Now, in Cain, what's negated to us is that in Lomdis, the Rambam still holds that Chatzim Alechas is a Psal Dereisa. He just holds that for the Dereisa Chatzim Alechas, it's only if you're actively moving. But according to the Rambam, according to the Magen Mishnah, the Psal that we keep on talking about in the Gemara called Chatzim Alechas, that's a real Psal Dereisa. It's just sleeping is not that. However, according to the Rambam, let's say you have a moving Eved. The guy's on the move, he's not sleeping, he's wide awake. Avada, that would be a Chatzim Alechas and Psal Dereisa. That's the way the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam. However, if you look in the Taz and Kuf Lametes, the Mechaben Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Lametes brings down this Rambam, that if the Eved is sleeping, although he's not tied up, it's a get possible. And the Taz is bothered with the same kash as the Magen Mishnah. Why is it a good get? Midrabanan, it's a Mahalachas. So if you look at the Taz over here, he has a totally different Mahalach than the Magen Mishnah. He says, Ubi Yashim L'chud Kasav Shehu Possel. The Taz, an unbelievable chiluk in the Rambam. Taimoi, The chatzah hamishtameres ladaitoi. If you have a chatzah hamishtameres ladaitoi, which means the eved, the chatzah is being watched by the lady because the eved is sleeping. Svirli to have him in hatoira. That din is a din deraisa, says the Taz. This idea that you have to be the sole protector of the chatzah, that's a din deraisa. Miyodoi is rabboi, because we learn it from Yad. The yodoi who mishtameres ladaitoi, and you always guard your hand. No one else guards your hand except for yourself. Therefore, says the Taz, the Rambam holds, that if the eved were to be awake, that's it. If the Eved's awake, it's not Mishtameres by her, it's a Psol Dairaisa. What happens if the Eved's asleep and tired? Zokti Taz, Bekofas Echud, Hu Yochel Lishes Atzmoy, Midaitoy. Arkoch Einige Klau. Avo Boho Dechotzim Haleches. The Isa Resh Perakama, the Shabbos Gufa Naichi, Yodel Loi Naichi, Ela Medura Bonon Loi Kono Bechotzim Haleches. Zokti Taz, because the Rambam understood that the whole Psol of Echotzim Haleches is only the Rabbanon. When Rabban made up this thing called the Chatzim Halachas, that was never Midaraisa. That was not a din in the Torah. That was a din in the Rabbanon. Rabban decided on a rabbinic level, you can't trust a moving Chatzim. Not because the way the Magen Mishnah learned, because he's sleeping. Don't do it sleeping according to the Taz. According to the Taz, the whole din of Chatzim Halachas was only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam rules, very simple. And therefore, if it's only the Rabbanon, it's only Pasul, the Rabbanon. Now, if this is true, the Rambam comes out to be the exact opposite of the Rosh. We mentioned the Rosh held that the din of Chatzim Halachas was Gzeres HaKasuf, and the din Mishtameres was a Svara. According to the Rambam, it's exactly the opposite. Mishtameres is a din d'oraisa, and Chatzim Halachas is not a din at all. It's a din d'rabbon. So it comes out, according to the two ways of learning the Rambam, is whether or not the din of Chatzim Halachas is a psol d'oraisa, or is it only a psol d'rabbon. The kasha that I have on the Taz is, if you don't like the Taz, so why does he even have to be sleeping? If the Taz is right, that the whole psul chatz malech is only the Rabbanon, so sleeping awake doesn't change anything. Bishlom and the Magid Mishnah's pshat, it made a big difference. Because according to the Magid Mishnah, chatz malech is really a psul deraisa. Sleeping fixes it. And then we have an issue, waking versus sleeping, zeh the Rabbanon. But according to the Taz, it doesn't matter. Because according to the Taz, every chatz malech is only the Rabbanon. So then why does the Gemara start talking about sleeping awake? The Chayu shouldn't make a difference. Okay? I don't think it should. But the Fizeh comes out of very, very serious thing of Machloik is how to understand the Shittas of Rambam, how the Rambam read the Gemara of Chatzah Mahalachas. Rav Salvechik, in Shuri Harav, he says, I think possibly a third pshat in the Rambam. It's very similar, but I think it might be a third pshat just along this. Rav Salvechik says over here, number 5, he says, Shai Rambam Sovashim Midereisa Chatzah Mahalachas Hu Chatzah B'Shas Hiluch. Salvechik said, the Rambam understood, what does it mean, mahalachas? What's taich? Moving. Moving means you're actively moving. Therefore, ulechein yoshon, ein echatzim mahalachas. Therefore, if you're sleeping, you're not called moving. So the Rambam took the Gemara very literally. When the Gemara says a moving chatzir, moving means someone who's in active motion. A sleeping person is not in active motion. That was the way the Rambam understood the deraisa definition of a chatzim mahalachas. Avol midrabbonon, Chatzim Halachas, he chatzim sheesh lam shem mahalach. Tahainu shebekoichel alachas. Salvechik learned not like the Magen Mishnah that we made a gzeira sleeping or to awake. The way the Rambam understood the sugi was we came into town and we said chatzim halachas can be defined in two ways. It can either mean active moving or it can mean the ability to move. So the way the Rambam looked at it, he said, well, there's two ways. There's the Daraisa definition and the Rabbanan definition. The Torah's definition of chatzim halachas was an active mover. The Rabbanan's definition was a different definition. Their definition was anyone who could move. Why was that the Rabbanan's definition? That he doesn't explain. Why did the Rabbanan use that definition? Again, the Magen Mishnah said the Rabbanan made a gzeira. They were afraid that if we call a sleeping person not moving, you'll confuse that with an awake person. The way of Salvechik says it sounds a little different. It was a more of a lomdish shaila. How do we define moving? So according to the Rambam, the Torah defined it one way, and the Rabbanan defined it slightly different. However, Rashi and the other Rishayim said of Salvechik, they held no. The definition of a moving chatzim means anyone that has the ability to move. That's the definition. So according to this, it comes out as a machloikis Rishayim, what does it mean a chatzim alechas? What's taich? What does it mean a chatzim alechas? Does it mean a moving chatzim? Or does it mean a chatzim that has the ability to move?
What was the original concern about something that was a chatzim alechas?
Ah, okay. I want to get to that right now. So in all this Torah that we're saying over here, shouldn't this all bring us back to the basic question of why is a chatzim halachas no good? Now we could say Torah all we want, how to define a moving, or what does moving mean? But shouldn't we have to go back to the sources and say, well, why is a chatzim halachas no good? So let's work it out through these new pshat. Most Rishonim learn Chatzim Alecha doesn't work because it's not compared to your Yad. Your Yad doesn't move. So one can make a very compelling argument that a sleeping person is not moving. Again, if a Chatzim Aleches is no good because a Chatzim Aleches is defined as a Chatzir that has to be comparable to a Yad, and your Yad doesn't move.
That's only if we hold that a Chatzim Aleches matters only in the context of
a Get.
No,
oh, no.
Any other.
I'll get to that in a second. We'll hold that. We'll see that in the Tzais in a minute. So if you say it like that, I can hear an argument that one could say that this does fit the criteria of Yad. A sleeping person doesn't move. He doesn't. Look around. Except for people that sleepwalk, sleeping people by definition don't walk. So one could have argued that if the whole din of Chatzim Aleches is Doimit Yada, forget lomdus of Mahalach means moving or means could move. Forget the, put out the word Mahalach. Go back to the source. If Chatzim Mahalach is learned, because it has to be similar to a Yad, and a Yad doesn't move, so a sleeping person doesn't move. I think one could have made such an argument. Or, let's go with the other Pshat and Mishayim, that a Chatzim Aleches is no good because it's not Mishtamer. It's not watched. A sleeping person is pretty watched. He's not going anywhere. It is guarded. So I think one has to really go back. The way the Achronim here are tackling, they're tackling the lumness of Mahalach. So I think you have to go back a step.
What's the purpose of guarding? I mean, if you put a get on a sleeping person, someone can walk around and take it away.
Okay, that's the back and forth argument. Either you'll say it's not guarded, because someone could come from the outside and take it. As opposed to, I was looking at Mitzad the Eved, he's not guarding it, which is part of what we don't want him. We don't want him guarding it. We'd rather be guarded by the owner, meaning the Isha. So I think if you go back to the Machlokes Yerushalayim, you start trying to plug things in, it gets a little complicated in how to fit this in with the way that Achronim are setting up.
Maybe more that it's not that it's not a Yad, but that by definition a Chatzer, you control it because it doesn't move, a typical Chatzer.
Correct.
Once it's movable, or capable of moving, or actually moving, then even though you may own it legally, you no longer control it the way you would a regular chutzer.
Right.
That's the difference between a chutzer malachos and a regular chutzer.
Right, that's
not necessarily, it's not comparable to a yacht.
Right, right, that's the other way in the Rishonim. That's the way the Meiri says it, and that's the way Rashi in one place says it. So then if that comes out, so then you can't start drawing distinctions between Mishtameres and Mahalachas, like the Magen Mishnah.
Same thing.
And the same thing. Right. The problem is, the way the Taz learned it, it wasn't like that. The Taz draw a distinction between a Mishnah Meres and a Mahalaches. According to that, they're all the same thing. You can't draw such distinctions. Right. That's the problem. But so if you look at Rashi number 6, I think Rashi number 6 tips us off on how Rashi, at least Rashi, again, all we've been saying now is the Rambam Shita. Again, Rashi is not Mechoyev Tum like the Rambam, nor is the Rambam Mechoyev Tum like Rashi. But if you look in Rashi number 6, Rashi in Bava Metzia, when he learned the Gemara of why is a Mehalech no good, so Rashi says, Kloima, the Kivan Deruya Hilelech, the point is that a sleeping person is able to go. Lav dum yudichatzahu, which means it sounds like from Rashi that Rashi learned not the way like the Taz, not like the Magen Mishnah, not like anyone. That Rashi learned stamazay, that the definition of movement is defined by the ability to be able to go, maybe even on a deraisa level, not like second step derabon on a deraisa level.
Right.
Rashi understood that the definition of moving is someone who can go. So if you have the ability to go, automatically you're out.
If you're tied up, you have the ability to be
outside. That was the kasha we had when we learned this. Right, that was the kasha. If you learn the Gemara like Rashi, we were bothered. So why is a Thai person any different? So if you learn the Gemara like the Magid Mishnah, so it's much nicer, the Gemara. Kofos is not about ability or capability. It's about how common is such a case, whether or not the Rabbanim made exer. If you learn like this, so we explained last, you know, when we dealt with this, you're going to have to answer something along the lines of, I'm inside myself, can't get out. I'm going to need someone else to come and make it happen. That's already different than just natural. People wake up naturally, therefore it's different than tied up. Or usid to, a person's always aimed to wake up. A person's not aimed to be untied. It could, hopefully he will get untied, but it's not necessarily going to happen soon.
Although they say it's only his feet that are tied, so...
Right, his feet.
Expect,
right, right.
But can't you make a difference between a chatzer that's Eina Mishtameres and a chatzer that's Mahalechus? That the difference is that a chatzer that's not being watched, its essence as a chatzer hasn't changed. You're just not watching it, or it's not being watched.
Okay.
But a chatzer mahalech is not a chatzer.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Because its whole essence
okay.
has changed.
So you mechavet to a shtickle Torah that's on the second page from Rabbi Asher Weiss, Ibn Chas Asher. He says such a shtickle Torah to answer up a steer in Rashba. Well, hopefully we'll get to that. This is touching on the Reb Chaim, which we talked about a couple of times. We need to talk about it again, also on page 2. Things that go on page 2 are mesogim not to be covered in the shir. That's a school. But in any case, these are things that we need to talk about. Is there a distinction in lomdus between a chatzer mahalachas and a chatzer she'ena mishtameres? Hopefully we'll get to that today and discuss that chiluk. There's a chsam sefer over here, number 7. I shouldn't say a cute chsam sefer. I don't want to belittle the chsam sefer. But he has an interesting pshat in the Rambam. why did the Rambam hold that a sleeping person is not good enough midrabanan? Again, the way the Rambam learned the Gemara is that sleeping is really not mahalachas. Sleeping fixes the problem of moving, but the Rabbanan kicked him and said you can't. Why? Says Chasam Sofer. Says interesting pshat over here. Number 7, he writes, Ulai near who va'asa atzma yoshin. Chazal were afraid that people can fool us. You think he's sleeping? He's not really sleeping. You think he's sleeping. So you're going to say, oh, he's sleeping. Okay, it's a good get. He's not moving. He's not really sleeping. He's faking it. Right? My kids do it all the time. They're faking that they're sleeping. Right? They're not so good at it. But if a person is really good at faking that he's sleeping, he'll give off the idea that he's sleeping. And you're going to be matter get, and it's not true. He's really a chotzer mahalachas. Therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, Ela shirava hidienu kishu yosha be'emes megreshesi. Rava held you right. Sleeping fixes mahalachas. Ela miyagid lo nuzois. How do we really know you're sleeping? And that's why the Gemara changed its wording when it wrote v'hilchasa. We spoke about this last week. Why did the Gemara say the word v'hilchasa? The Gemara should have said ala hachav ma'yaskin. What's v'hilchasa? V'loy kama shani yoshin to have like kafus. Ela korcha dachav kama kafus have like k'hilchasa umarin kain v'loy yoshin. If it's kafus, then we can go around telling people it's a good get. Because that we can paskin on. But yoshin, we're not comfortable enough paskining yoshin because we don't know if it's really yoshin. So that's why I said the reason why the Rabban had to get involved, because they were afraid that how do we know if he's really sleeping versus if he's not really sleeping?
If that's true, then Yoshin should never work, even if you're tired. Because,
why?
Because you're lacking Mishta Meris.
No.
How do we know if he's sleeping?
Meaning, why is it not a Shaila off Mishta Meris also?
Yeah.
And why don't we play the same suffix for Mishta Meris? Right, so if you learn like the Rosh learned that Mishta Meris was a Svara. So then it's in my head. If I think you're sleeping, that's good enough for me. I think you're sleeping, so I think it's guarded. Now, you're saying, why do you think that? You, in the back of your mind, should be right. So maybe the point of Chasam Sofer is not so much psychologically, but halachically. Meaning, psychologically, I can see a sleeping person saying sleeping, but halachically, we're more concerned. The problem is, if you don't like the Taz, it's not going to work at all, according to that pshat. Okay. So that's all in the Rambam's lumbus. Let's talk a little bit about the Ktzos for a second, number 9. There's a Ktzoris over here that quotes a Beis Yosef that says this whole discussion of sleeping, which is the issue of not being mishtameres, is only an issue when it comes to a divorce. If let's say I wanted to use my chatzah to be kaina mitzia, or let's say someone wants to sell me something, and I'm not around, I'm in another town, no one's guarding my chatzah, it's open free reign. Or my Eved's wide awake. But he's tied up, but he's wide awake, he's in complete control. Says the Beis Yosef, quoting Hagoyis Maimonides, there would be no problem if you put it in the Eved's hand while he's awake. The Gemara talks about a chatzah mishta meres. How does it work? So Dr. Tzai is quoting a Beis Yosef, number 9. You only need to have yoshon by a get because it's a chayv. Then, hasan bin chatzah mishta meres ladaitai. Ava b'mecher matana, if someone wants to give you a gift or sell you something, that's chus. V'yesham dasecheres machne. Then you have someone else. Afilu ein mishtamer. V'ein oim b'tzidai. Even if it's not guarded and you're not standing there. V'afilu hu near. Even if the devil would be awake. Kimish ein yochel lahalich. As long as he's not moving. Havishaper chotzer liktas b'hamatalat m'shalav. It would work to be kind of the matalat. What's the chiluk? Oh, soktik tzais. What's the difference? Because you don't need damil yodai. When do we talk about Mishta Meres L'daitai? That's we keep on saying Mishta Meres L'daitai is comparable to yad. It has to be like yad. It has to be like yad. Why does it have to be like yad? Because chatzos mitam yad. However, says the tzais, but when you come to something which is a schos, then chatzos can be mitam shlichos. If chatzos is mitam shlichos, then it's not damil yad anymore. So therefore, says the tzais, pshan this space is if it's something that's a chayiv. So the only way for chatzos to work is mitam yad. If it's mitam yad, it has to follow the rules of yad. If it's a schos, like a mechach umemkar, then I can say it's mitam shlichus. If it's mitam shlichus, I don't need any more the rules of mishtam
meres. So every can be your
shliach? So every can be your shliach, as long as it's not moving.
As long as it's not moving.
You still have to worry about chatzah mahalachas. The only thing you don't have to worry about is mishtam meres.
So how does it work? Chatzah is mitam yad, and then you can switch what chatzah is.
Right.
You don't need yad anymore.
Right. That was the sugya of chatzah mitam yad, chatzah mitam shlichus. Sometimes chatzah is going to be working with one set of rules. Because it's lumnus is one way, and sometimes it's going to be working with that set of rules.
But you're only learning it from yad, so how can they have different rules?
No, you're not. You're not learning it only from yad. You're learning there's two types of shlichus. There's two types of chatzah. And they're functioning and they work differently. And they're learned from different places.
Where do you learn chatzah from in the first place? Only from yad, you said.
No, well, that's what the Gemara says in one place. Then the Gemara B'Metzia, which we tried tackling a couple of times, I think unsuccessful, but with the Gemara is this machlokes, if chatzah is mitam yad or chatzah is mitam shlichus. The Gemara at the end of Tess and B'Metzia goes on for like an omen about this discussion. The Gemara is a whole discussion if chatzah can be possibly working in a different lumnus than yad, can be working with shlichus. The way the Gemara comes out is it depends what type of chatzah it is. If it's something that's a schos, then it can be al shlichus. If something which is a chayv, it can only be al yad. You can't send the shlichus to do something you don't want done. That's the way the Gemara comes out.
You have two types, right.
According to the Shtickle Torah. There's two ways and they have different rules.
According to Tosafot, you don't need a Kenyan. So what is the comparison to
still, it needs to be a Makom Aroi LeKenyan. We'll talk more about that also today, I hope. It still needs a Makom Aroi LeKenyan. You can't just make a Nesina any way you want. You have to make a Nesina to that's right. It will, and then come back to being lacking
well,
in the Nesina.
What would happen if you're serving a summons or a chov on the
Eved. Right, so the fees there wouldn't work if he's not Mr. Meris, right.
So then would it be, have to be
correct.
Like
right. The Pnei Yeshua also in Daf Chafav makes the same chiluk of this choice. That he says that depending on the nature of the case, it's going to affect whether or not it can work on Siyad or Al-Slicht. The problem with this Beis Yosef, it's not a cash on the Beis Yosef, but if you look in Baba Kama Daf Yud Beis, where Taisus over there, Daf Yud Beis, also talks about tied up and sleeping, that Gemara over there is not talking about Gerushin. That Gemara is talking about selling and buying things, and still many Rishayim say you need to be asleep. So that everyone asks, why do you need to be asleep? We're talking about Das Acheres Machna. So it's a machloikis we're showing whether or not Das Acheres Machna still requires Daim Eliyadi. But I just wanted to mention that's a third way of learning the Sugya. If you learn like the Tzai, so this whole discussion is strictly only by Get and not by other types of Kinyon.
The difference between Chov and Chos is by Zechiah. Why should that matter by Chotzim?
Because of Chotzim times Shlichas. I can't send a Shlich to do something I don't want. It doesn't make sense. So therefore, if you hold the chatzim tam shlichas, then it's not going to work. Okay.
Does the shliach have to acknowledge himself being a shliach?
What do you mean?
Meaning, does he have to accept on himself the acknowledgement that I'm going to be a shliach for you?
Yeah, he has to aware of what he's doing.
So you can't have a situation where because the eved is moving, so you say it's not chatzer. But I'm going to deem him my shliach to get around it so that it gets good. You're saying I couldn't do that.
No.
Well, he could be tied up.
Chatzim alech is a fundamental problem. A fundamental problem that can't be fixed by changing over. Something about being guarded would be able to be switched over depending on if it's a good thing or a bad thing for the recipient. But mahaleches, according to this, is fundamentally out. Therefore, no matter what you do, unless you tie him up, it's not going to work. Now, we'll switch gears a little bit. We'll see. There's another Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, the Rambam writes like this: Hamakna avodim umetatlin keechad. Person wants to sell a gift, metatlin and avodim, at one time. Don't worry, we're not getting back to Kenyan Agav. Don't worry, we're not getting back there. Zok the Rambam, Moshech hametatlin. Let's say you schlep the metatlin, you do ma'aseh mashiach on metatlin, loy kana avodim. That doesn't automatically give you the avodim. Hechzik ba'avodim. If you made a ma'aseh kinyan on avodim, loy kana hametatlin. Elo imkein hayu hametatlin al gab ha'eved. Lest the metalton would be placed on top of the eved, v'ho sheyia kafus, and the eved is tied up. Sharei eina yochal halich, and by then he won't be able to walk. Then it will be working al schatzer. Right. So the Rambam is talking about a case where you have an eved. You bought the eved, then you pile up the metalton on the eved. The eved's tied up, so now the eved works al schatzer. Seems to be very straightforward. Seems to be the halacha that we learned in the Gemara that a chatzer works with an eved as long as he's kafus.
It doesn't require sleeping.
Ah, very good. That's Rav Salavitchik's problem with this Rambam. So if you look at number 11, when Rav Salavitchik read this Rambam, he was troubled. He said, why is there no mention of sleeping? He says, "Umashma shiyoshon loy mahani." When you read this Rambam, the implication is that only kafus, but what happens if he's just sleeping? Not kafus, just sleeping. Then the mashmoy said the Rambam is it doesn't work. Now, again, I'm not so sure how much you can dig in the Rambam. The Rambam was talking about a case of kafus. What would the Rambam hold when he's not kafus? I don't know. I mean, Salvation's point is that why did the Rambam set it up? Why did the Rambam back himself into a corner to talk specifically about kafus? He should have opened it up. I said, you're not kafus. Well, it depends. Awake or sleeping. Now, why would it matter if he's sleeping? The tzarechin. The mi'achash apostle Yoshim beget whom the Rabbanon. Ask for Salvation 1 second. The Rambam l'shitase. The Rambam holds an ilchas geirushin. That to fix mahalechas, all you need is sleeping on a deraisa level. And on a derabbanon level, it's a problem. And this is where Salvation adds a chiddush. It's only a problem for geirushin. This psul derabanan is a gerushin related issue. Therefore, ask for Salavetchik if that's the case. So when you come to Yoshon by Mekach u'Memkar, that should be good enough, both derabanan and deraisa. So he asks, v'tzarechin, the me'achash apostle Yoshon beget whom derabanan, once we know that the Rambam holds that Yoshon is only a problem derabanan, lomo le'mahani Yoshon me'mecher. Why doesn't sleeping work for selling? Shirak beget yesh tam ligzor v'lif soma derabanan. Because by get we can make zeres derabanan, we're worried about, you know, psul le'kohuna, this and that. But not by a me'achash u'memkar. So ask Rav Salavitch. I don't know. I would have suggested possibly that maybe once the Rambam accepts the notion that a chatzer mahaleches midrabanan is out whenever it has the ability to move, it's across the board. It's not only for gerushin. It's across the board type of thing. It's the way of salvation himself learned it was not like that. The way of salvation himself learned it was because the rabbanan had a different definition for mahaleches. The rabbanan defined mahaleches as not just able, not just moving, but of the ability to go. So that should be true by a mecher also. Sounds like he understood that the Rabbanon only put on those glasses when it came to Geirushin. Because by Geirushin, we have to be extra strict. But when it came to Mecha, why be so technical? Follow the Deraisa alone. So therefore, ask for Salvechik, what's Pshat in the Ram? So Salvechik answers a very sadistic answer. I wish I understood it better. But he basically says a gevaldig olam de shechilik over here between different types of chatzar. That a chatzar functions differently depending on what the chatzar is trying to do. We'll read it together and try to understand it. He writes like this. The Hanira Bibir Hadover, right under number 10, says in Salvation, the Pshat is like this. The Hanira Bibir Hadover should be get umatono chatzar koine b'teres maise kinyin. When you talk about a get, or you talk about a gift, the way your chatzar is then koine is called a maise kinyin. Ubimecher, and if you're talking about, let's say, buying and purchasing, hu koine idea he yois hachevitz b'ushusai. Then the way chatzar works is because it's in my possession. If it's in my possession, then it becomes mine. V'loy b'teiris ma'isa kinyan. But it's not like there's an active kinyan taking place. It's a reality. Things that are in my possession become mine. As opposed to, when you're talking about a get, then the lomdus is that my chatzar is doing an active kinyan somehow on my behalf. These sounds like, unless someone has a different way of reading it, these are what the words sound like to me. The words are that the way chatzar works is fundamentally different when you're talking about a get, which is talking about buying and selling. If I want to buy something from you and you throw it into my chatzar, says the salvation, the reason why it works is not because my chatzar made a maisa kinyan. The reason why it works is because it's in my possession. Things that are in my possession belong to me. However, if when you're talking about a get, then the reason why it works is because my chatzar performed some form of a maisa kinyan, not just because it's in my backyard. He has rayas from the Lashonis and the Rambam to why he makes this chiluk. Therefore, he explains. He doesn't talk about whether or not should be tolling. He doesn't talk about whether how that works in chatzar mitam shlichus. I don't know. He doesn't. That, yeah, 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 yeah. This is the third way of understanding how chatzar works. So now let's continue reading. Shai Rambam Sover shebechatzar mahalechetz. Now we talk about a moving chatzar. Hachefetz hu b'teich chatzar. No one's denying the obvious metzias that the chefetz is in your chatzar. Avol einar nechshav b'rishusay. But it's not considered being in your possession, which we need to talk more about in a few minutes. Therefore, says the Salvechik, this is where the nafkamina is going to come out. If you talk about a chatzar malachas, you have to ask yourself, what's wrong with the chatzar malachas? Is the pshat that it's not in my possession? It's not in my backyard. You don't make an asina l'rishusai. This is not my backyard. My backyard is a real chatzar. This is not my backyard. Or the chasaron over here is that it's not considered a ma'aseh kinyan. So he writes to this. V'arambam sover, shalakinyan chatzar mitam knis l'rishus. When you want to be koine with the fact that it's in your possession, be'in and shachif is yechshav birushusoy. Then it has to be that it was put into your area. That makes a lot of sense. Mashenkin the kinyan chatzar idei maisa kinyan. If we're talking about that, it's like my chatzar performed an act of kinyan. Shel zesagi biyosa chifes b'tzeh chatzar. Then it's good enough to say that it's in the chatzar. It's in my chatzar. My chatzar did a maisa kinyan for me. This is not my backyard, but I don't need it to be my backyard. I need it to be that a maisa kinyan was performed. Well, Lechein therefore explains, beget shechatzar hu maisa kinyan. When you talk about get, the lomdus of chatzar is just a maisa kinyan. Ain chasar b'chatzar malachas. Then there is no problem of a chatzar malachas. Kivin shaget hu b'tei chatzera. Because the get is in my chatzar. This is my backyard. No one's changing the zip code. No one's changing the address of my backyard. This is my backyard. So you put the get into my backyard. Therefore, umishamachi pasul. Hiram am yashem beget. Rak midir abonim. Avo b'tam knisel v'shus. Chatzar malachas leikona. You can't say this was brought into my possession. Again, I spent a lot of time on it. I'm still not clear on the lumdus, but it's an interesting shtickel Torah to keep in mind when going through various sugyas and shas and trying to understand chatzar is by mecha versus chatzar by kinyan. Ayin Sham, I think, is an interesting shtickel Torah. So let's move on, because I really wanted to finish the sugya today and get to a new sugya for next week. One more shver Rambam for the day. The Rambam writes right after Aloch Yudah, and Rambam writes Aloch Yudchas. Kosev a get v'nosim bi'ar avdoi. A different case. You wrote the get, and instead of giving it to her Eved, you put the get in your Eved's hand. Okay, yeah, your Eved doesn't create a Chalais Gerushin. Zokti Rambam, the cost of L'shtar Matan Olof. And on top of writing a Shtar Gerushin, you wrote a Shtar Matan that you're now gifting the Eved to the Isha. So now the Eved's going to own the Isha's going to own the Eved. Oh, so if the Isha's going to own the Eved, and the get's in the hand of the Eved, oh, he'll be Kaina al Schatzer through the Eved. Fine. Zok the Rambam, kiva shezachsa be'eved, zachsa be'get. Very good. Everything works out perfectly. She gets the eved, she gets the get. V'niskarsha, and she's divorced. Im hayakafos. Assuming that the eved is tied. Because if eved is not tied, it's not a good chatzar. Yeah, this is the big kasha. This is connected the famous shach and connected other rishayim that you can't use chatzar if it was there before. The Achrayim pointed out from this Rambam.
No, but it wasn't in her chatzar before.
It was in the chatzar.
Until she's kohen the eved,
but it was
it's not hers. But it was
in the chatzar
of the husband.
Right, but it was in the
who cares?
No. That's the problem all the time. If it's in the chatzar, it has to be first your chatzar, then your.
By giving it a kind of blanket.
Yeah. That's the sugi over there. Right. I think we touched upon it, but that's the aura they have. But I wanted the end of the Rambam. V'meinei kafus. Let's say the eved is not tied up. V'nir, he's awake. Now you got everything going wrong. He's awake. So now this can't be chatzar on any levels. Like the Rambam, konso ha'eved. She still is kind of the eved. V'eina migureshes. She's not divorced because this eved can't function as a proper chatzar. Ad sheyegia haget liyodo, until the get gets to her hand. What is that word? Oh, that's the problem. What are the words? Right. What are the words of the Rambam sound like? Which the way the Rashba's medayik from it, we'll see in a second. Achiyegia get liyodo means that let's say you put the get in the eved. So instead of it being migureshes immediately. So the eved takes the get and walks and drops it off at the isha. So Frank the Rashba number 13. This is the Rashba of Chafalf. The Rashba says, "Vokimna bekafus ploy bechatz malachas." Avu v'she'ene kafus. Let's say the case would be he's not tied up. Havle chatz malachas ve'ene kainah. The eved kansa avu get loy kansa. She would not be kainah the get. Ve'ene miskureshes but elimke not la ba'al v'chaz v'nasnula. Says the Rashba, what would you have to do? You'd have to give the get again and make a new ma'ase nesina. Avul natlasahi, if she were to take it from the Evid, Lainus Garsha. Shim Davalekitligi Dhmagabi Kakit Lakona. It'll be a problem on the mice in the sea. Says Rajba K nearly. Avul Reisi Le Rambam, says the Rajba, what am I supposed to do? I saw the Rambam says, Shikasav Aina Magresh that Shigiyagaliode the Mashma, Shafish Aina Khaiz of a Natla Vinasnala. Says the Rajba, he makes the deal that we're all making in the Rambam. That sounds like from the Rambam. You wouldn't need the husband to retake the get and re-give the get. As long as this Evid would now go and deliver the get to the Isha, that would be good enough. Frank the Rashba, why would that be good? Why should there not be a problem of Tligi de Chamei Agabi Karka? That was an insufficient Nesina. When you made the Nesina to her Eved, that's not her Eved. Because since he lacks all the ability and the capability to be a Chatzar, that's the same thing as putting the get in her friend's backyard. If you were to put the get in her friend's backyard, and she would walk over to the backyard and take the get, that would be Enim Agoreshes. There's no Nesina. So why is this any better? This is the Rashba's Kasha on the Rambam. Okay.
Why isn't the Eved a Shliach in that situation? He gives the Eved the get, and she comes and she takes the...
Because the Eved wasn't acting as a shlich. The Eved was acting as a chotzer. And to be a chotzer, there's rules. And one of the rules are you got to be tied up, and he wasn't tied up.
Does he have to give some kind of... What does he have to do to make the Eved a shlich?
Whether or not Eved could be a shlich, that's a more complicated discussion.
Oh, and Eved may not...
Depending on what part of Gerushim we're talking about, it's more complicated. But the assumption of the Rambam was we weren't working with shlichs, we were working clearly as chatzah. So the Rambam sounds like that if I were to deposit this get into a chatzah which is not valid, that would be called a ma'aseh nesina al isha. The obvious question is, says the Rashba, how does that make any sense? Now if you turn to the next page, which Baruch Hashem we got to, if you look in the Magen Mishnah quotes the Rashba slightly different than the way we have it. He writes in the second to last line, "Varajba nistapik b'zeh." Varajba wasn't sure. Im tzorich sheyitlenu haba v'yachzav yitnenu lo. The Rashba wasn't sure. I don't know. To me, the Rashba that we read in Chafav was pretty sure. He seemed pretty clear. He left off tzorichin, okay, but he seemed pretty convinced that you would have to give it again. Avul matlasi, if she were to take it dilma havle tligid hamegabe karka. So the Magen Mishnah understood that the Rashba was not sure, even though the Rashba bell seems pretty clear that he thought this would be a classic example of tligid hamegabe karka. So the kash in the Rambam is very strong. The Rashba is asking that if I were to give the get to the Isha, to her chatzah, which is not her chatzah, why is it not a problem of Nesim? So the Beis Shmuel in Kuf Lametes asks a different kasha. He turns the tables on the Rashba. Right now we're thinking that the Rashba has a great kasha on the Rambam. Says the Beis Shmuel, I got a kasha on the Rashba. Stira in Rashba. Why is it a stira in Rashba? Says the Beis Shmuel, he says, he also quotes Aval Rashba v'Haran istapku b'zeh. They were not sure. Maybe you do have to make a new ma'aseh nesina. Again, I'm not sure which gears they had in the Rishayim that were mesupik about it. The way we have it, it seems to be very clear. You the Rashba, you're so quick to attack the Rambam. I don't understand. You yourself wrote, if let's say you have a case, in this case we spoke about, let's say you have a case where the Isha has a chatzar, not moving, a real chatzer. But she's three blocks away from the chatzer. It's not Mishta Meresh L'dayte. Then the husband puts the get in when she's three blocks away, and now she walks three blocks, and now she's standing in front of her chatzer. So would that be now a good get or not? So the Rashi himself writes that im nasan lechatzer v'yiloi hoisa sham mahani kisham achakar chagitech. If when the husband shows up and she shows up and everyone's there together, he says, "This is your get." Ve'etzarch litol get v'litol liyoda. You don't have to make another ma'isa nesina. Bishom shahoisa nesina kamaisa kilo nasan liyoda, because it was like you made the first nesina, and now that she's here, it all comes together. So frek de beishmo, you the Rashba. Why is this different than the case of a chatzer mahalachas? You told me that by a chatzer mahalachas, if you make an asina to a chatzer mahalachas, you told me, no good. That's like making an asina to the street. But when you make an asina to a chatzer she'ena mishtameres, that's okay. Why are they not the exact same issue? That's the beishmo's kasha on the Rashba. Now, what the beishmo is opening us up to is a discussion which we need to have, is what's the reason for mahalachas versus mishtameres? Again, the whole premise of the Beis Shmuel's kasha is that Beis Shmuel is willing to compare mishtameres to mahalach and say, well, they've got to have the same rules. If a chatzah mahalach is not a chatzah, and a chatzah mishtameres is not a chatzah, so if I made nesinas to both of those areas, neither of them should be a good ma'aseh nesin. That's the assumption of the Beis Shmuel. Comes along with Asher Weiss in Menachas Asher, and he says, no, it's not a kasha. And he says, Givaldik. He says, El de chatzah mahalachas, El de shani chatzah mahalachas, mechatzah sheinah mishtameres. No, you don't understand the lomdus. They're two different types of chatzah. The chatzim alech is garetzvei. No, the Rashbel, the chatzim alech is worse than a chatzim she'ena mishtameres. De'en le din chatzim klal. A moving chatzim is kichatzimisht. It's not a chatzim. You can't call a moving chatzim a chatzim. Therefore, if you made a nesina to a moving chatzim, it's ki'ilu you made no nesina. Ein a doy miliad, v'kimish ein a chatzim ru'i l'kinyin, af nesina ein kan. So you can't make a nesina there, you can't even make a nesina. The be'in a nesina ha'ru'i l'kinyin. The nesina l'chatzim alech is ein a nesina is gerishin klal. Okay. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, but if you look at our Eina Mishtameres, you're not going to say it's not a chatzer. You're not going to say it lacks the definition of a chatzer. It's a chatzer. Ella, it's missing something. It's lacking. It has a chasarin to it because it's not being guarded. And therefore, that chasarin can be fixed with Harei Zegitich. So the chiddush of what Rabbi Asher Weiss is saying in the Rashba is mamish turns everything that we said in the morning, the first hour of Shira, upside down. We kept on discussing that chatzim alechas might be a psol daraisa, chatzim shtemesh might be a psol daraisa. The way Rabbi Asher Weiss is learning in the Rashba understood that a chatzim alechas is b'chlan not a chatzim. A moving chatzim is not a chatzim at all. Nothing to talk about. You can't call it a chatzim. A chatzah that moves is the exact opposite of what the definition of a chatzah is. Therefore, it's not even enough to be called a ma'aseh nesina. But a chatzah she'eina mishtameres, but if you have a chatzah that's not guarded, that's not a stira to the idea of chatzah. Now, I would have said, according to some Rishonim, it is. According to some Rishonim, chatzah she'eina mishtameres is ein l'cha not chatzah g'day l'mezu. Your chatzah, your hand is guarded, you have to be guarded. So a chatzah that's not guarded is also not a chatzah. But he doesn't seem to go like that. He could, at least in the Rashba. And the Rashba understood that you can split the two. Now we'll see, Mr. Shem, next week, Reb Chaim goes a different route than this. Reb Chaim draws a different distinction. In Chatzim Mahalech is Gufo, Reb Chaim is going to draw a distinction between different Pshatim and Rishayim to how to understand Chatzim Mahalech.
Yeah.